Thank you, Leslie. That's always true. Whenever you do a mission trip or go visit, you always come back more encouraged. You don't encourage anyone. You're not coming back all repenting because you don't serve more and do more things and always very encouraged. Okay, Hebrews chapter 12. Let's go to part B. Hebrews 12. Okay, we looked at the first part of chapter 12 from 12, verse 12 through, through 17. And we saw that the writer of Hebrews is trying to encourage the believers to stop being so, to strengthen the hands, to get those weak knees strengthened up, to walk the path of the Lord. And they were very discouraged. Some of them wanted to go back to the old religious system. So you have to always keep that in mind as you're looking at the text, that's what he had in mind, to encourage believers not to go back to the old religious system. When I worked in Houston for most of my life with the Spanish people, one of the main things we battled all the time was that believers who came to Christ when things got tough, they always wanted to go back. They wanted to go back to the old country, to the old religion. Mom doesn't talk to me that much anymore, and I kind of miss mom, and I'm thinking of going back, and my dad, he doesn't want to give me part of the land inheritance because he says that I left our father's religion, and so he's going to cut me off, and so I think I'm going to go back. These are the things we would deal with. It was the same thing happening to the Hebrew people. They were under persecution. They were having trouble because of their faith, and some of them were wanting to go back, right? And so that was the issue. Now, what we're going to see in chapter 12, verse 18 through 29, is a comparison. So if you want to title it, Mount Sinai versus Mount Zion. Mount Sinai versus Mount Zion. And have you ever heard the southern people from Georgia and all that say Sinai? Just go visit Georgia just so you can hear that. It's worth your trip. Believe me. Okay, so why don't we read the text, then we'll comment on the text. So remember, turn off your cell phones, don't be texting, and all that kind of stuff. Now, if you're going to read your cell phone, the Bible, that's fine, but don't cheat and be texting doing this number. All right? I can see you from here. Turn those things off. Turn those things off. Put them on vibrating. Don't worry about it. All right, so I have a sister who could die in any moment. And even if she does die right now, what am I going to do right now? I got to wait till they plan out the funeral, go home, get a plane flight. So I can wait till after I'm done. I'm saying this because too many people are doing that stuff, and we need to focus on God's word. Okay, so let's read Hebrews 12:18. For you have not come to a mountain. Now check out the comparison. The first mountain is which mountain?
Sinai,
that's right. So, you have not come to a mountain that may be touched, and to a blazing fire, and to darkness, and gloom, and whirlwind. And to, hey, I forgot to throw my glasses on, excuse me for a second. Okay, here we go. And to the blast of a trumpet, and the sound of words which sound was such that those who heard begged that no further word should be spoken to them. For they could not bear the command. Even if a beast touches the mountain, it will be stoned. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I am full of fear and trembling. But, notice the transition, verse 22, but you have come, believers, you have come to Mount Zion, and to a city of a living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to myriad of angels, and to a general assembly of the church and church of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of righteous men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood which speaks better than the blood of Abel. And the Lord always blesses his word. Isn't that true? Amen? All right, amen. Okay. Now, so this is a comparison. He's saying to the people, why would you want to go back to the old Jewish covenant, to the old religious system, when you have all of this in Jesus, this new system? So he calls it one mountain versus another. Mount Sinai is the fear of the law, the old covenant. That's what it represents. Now, Mount Zion represents the grace of God. The grace of God, or life, if you will. When Mount Sinai, when the law was introduced, how many people, what happened? How many people died? 3,000, that's right. 3,000. So Mount Sinai represents fear, represents law, represents death. But Mount Zion, when the gospel was first preached, how many people were saved? 3,000, that's right, 3,000. So Mount Zion represents the grace of God, represents the gospel, represents heaven, represents life. Life. All right, so let's look at Mount Sinai first, since that's the way the Bible unfolds it and gives us the argument. Mount Sinai, you notice a couple of things. First of all, it could not be touched. It could not be touched. It was a covenant of judgment and fear. And the word says, because it's quoting, or coming to thinking of Exodus chapter 19 and 20, do this or you will die. Do not do this or you will die. And so when you thought about Sinai, it was a scary thing. It was what you had to do. And it was untouchable. All right, so we're going to notice a couple of things that were true. All right, number one, it was forbidden to touch under the penalty of death. And so it says it in Exodus, I believe right here in the text too. If someone, even a cow, would accidentally run into the mountain and touch it, that was it. Death. All right, so you were forbidden to touch the mountain, so it was physical. It was a physical mountain that you could see, touch, and climb, and yet it would scare you. Because, man, if you get too close to it, boom, you would fall over dead. Does that sound exciting to you? No. Inviting? Does that sound like something that we want to preach? Mount Sinai? Exodus 19:10 tells us this, that you have to wash your clothing also before you even got near it. Not to touch it, but just to get near it. Because God was going to show himself in all of his power, in all of his holiness, and out of his presence. So he said, you better wash your clothes, because if you don't, yeah. And then Exodus 19:15, they had to abstain from all kinds of relationships. Now, there's a lot of children here, so I'm trying to be careful how I say it. But that was also part of it. You know, you better not be doing any of that. You better wash your clothes, and you better be careful, because God's going to meet you. And then Exodus 19:12, they were forbidden to even touch the edge of the mountain. Okay? So why then the scene? God brings the people out of Egypt. He brings them to Mount Sinai. He's going to give them the law. And he's going to come. And he's going to show himself to the people. And he tells the people, but as I do this, you better not touch that mountain. You better not let your cow touch it. You better wash your clothes. You better be ready, because you're going to meet God. Right? So God was demonstrating his holiness and his power. So no defiled sinner could come near and witness the holiness of God. Did you get that? No defiled sinner can come near and witness the holiness of God. So it was to demonstrate the power of God. Now, how did he demonstrate it? Look at the text. Verse 18. For you have not come to a mountain that may be touched, because you couldn't touch it, and to a blazing... So here's how God demonstrated his power, through blazing fire. And to darkness, and gloom, and whirlwind. Does that sound like encouraging words to you? What does it sound like? If I tell you, hey man, let's go on a field trip, and let's go to this mountain, and you're going to see a bunch of gloom, and darkness, and whirlwind. And there's going to be blazing fire. Would you want to go? It's kind of a scary thing. Oh, by the way, when we go see it, you better watch out not to get close to that mountain. You're going to fall over dead. Verse 19, and to the blast of trumpets and to the sound of words, which sound was such that those who heard begged that no further words should be spoken to them. And so here they are, all the people of Israel. They show up to Mount Sinai. Moses went up the mountain. He came back and told the people to get ready because I'm going to show myself. And it's going to be in a thick cloud with fire and thunder. And there's going to be all these voices. And there's going to be these trumpets blasting. And when the people came then, and God starts to show his presence and power, the people freaked out. They're literally like, oh my word, this is scary. I'm scared. Have you ever been scared? Yeah. I like, man, this is freaking me out in today's modern, you know, language. It's like, wow. And they were trembling, and they begged that Moses tell God to stop. Tell him to stop. This is scary. For they could, listen, verse 20, for they could not bear the command. Even if a beast touches the mountain, it will be stoned. And so terrible was the sight of God's holy presence that Moses even said, I am full of fear and trembling. Wow. And so if you go to Exodus and you read it, it says that the mountain was shaking violently, like an earthquake. And so the people are there, and like, hey, we're going to show you God's presence. Well, you would think that that's something exciting, right? But it wasn't. It was all the opposite. I'm going to show man that I am absolutely holy and powerful, and I cannot be approached. And if you even get too close to the mountain where I'm showing my presence, you're going to fall over and die. It was unapproachable. It was a scary. So the main point of this is that Mount Sinai, God was absolutely unapproachable. Sinful man could not come near to God and live. That's the point. And so the people were terrified and they stood at a distance. Notice what the Bible says. At a distance. They couldn't come close. And so they begged God, don't even speak. We can't take it. And so, yeah, it was so bad that even Moses, who had this deep walk with God, was freaking out. So it was demanding. You must obey. Because not only could you not get near, but he started laying out the laws. And if you don't obey, you're going to be punished. You must obey or you're going to die. All right, so here's what the author then is trying to say. Why in the world do you want to go back to that? To an unapproachable God, full of laws that you cannot keep, that it comes with punishment, that it's gloom, that God is not approachable. Why do you want to do that? And then in transition, verse 22, but you have come to Mount Zion. All right? So what does Mount Zion represent?
Grace.
The grace of God. Okay? In other words, the approachable mountain of grace. That's what it symbolizes. That's the new covenant representing the heavenly Jerusalem. All right? So if you will, Mount Zion represents heaven. Right? And the fact that God is approachable. Are you listening to me? God is approachable. God is approachable. But you've come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to myriads of angels. All right, so it's approachable. It's grace. Any man can be saved, can be forgiven. There's salvation. It's inviting, open to all. Sinners are welcome. The veil has been torn in two. God can be found, and he's so full of love and so full of compassion. That's our message. That's what we preach today. Amen? Okay, now let me ask you a question. When somebody comes here, do they feel that? See, that's the question. Can an outside person who is a sinner, who's lost, who's done all kinds of things, can they sit here and say, you know what, when I come here, I feel the presence of God. I feel like that God is gracious, that he's approachable, that he understands me, that he wants to forgive me, and that he accepts me. Does a person who's lost that sits here, can they feel that? Because that's what we're conveying. That's our message. Now, you remember in the Gospels, when the sinful woman in Luke chapter 7, sinful woman walked in, what if the people who stood for the Mount Sinai of the law said, if Jesus knew who was that touched? Right? If you only knew who was that touched him, and Jesus let her touch him, and she felt accepted, and she could cry and wipe his feet with her tears, and she could offer, and she felt accepted and forgiven. That's what we're preaching. That's the gospel. Don't confuse your message. This is not a place of judgment. This is not a place where we condemn people because they've sinned. It's a place where we say there's grace. There's unconditional love. There's acceptance here. Even to a Christian who screwed up and repented and wants to get restored, this is a place of love and acceptance and a place where you can repent and be restored and feel loved. Amen? Because we're preaching the gospel of grace. This is Mount Zion. All right? And so, the author here is so excited, the author of Hebrews, that he starts to say, look, not only is it inviting, is it a place of grace and forgiveness and love and compassion where God can be approached and God can be touched. Not only that, but it's a place where it's full of angels, where two myriads of angels. When you come to heaven, in fact, when in Revelation, when John was up seeing the vision, he talks about in chapter 5, the myriads of angels are worshiping and praising God, right? You see it? When Jesus was introduced, myriads of angels were announcing good news, right? And so the angels are up there worshiping and praising God and acknowledging God. He was so do you want to come where there's demons or where there's angels?
Angels.
That's right. And so heaven is full of angels. That's what he's saying. Not only that, but to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven. That's you and I. That's the body of Christ, the bride of Christ, right? Who are enrolled in heaven when we put our faith in Jesus, our names are written in the book of life. Amen? And so he says, not only is heaven so inviting, and so full of grace and so forgiving, and not only is God approachable, but it's full of angels, and it's full of, how many of you have lost believers, believing friends and relatives that are in heaven now? I have. Last year I did 3 funerals of personal relatives, but they were all believers. They were ready to die.
Amen.
It was a glorious funeral, all 3 of them. You know? Of course you missed the person, but they're up there. Hey, scoot over, angels, here we come, you know? And it's full of New Testament believers. Their names were written in the book of life, and they're up there with the angels worshiping and singing. Man, I'm getting excited. What about you? All right? This is Mount Zion. This is Mount Zion. All right? So then he says, and to God, the judge of all. It's kind of funny, like, well, everybody knows that. But he's trying to get you excited here. Not only that, but the very presence of God is there. And we're going to be able to have fellowship with God because God is what? Approachable. You can draw near to God. The veil has been torn. There's no more barriers. You can come near. And that's what God wants. That's what he wanted from the beginning. And sin put a wall, separation. But the cross of Christ tore that, moved it out of the way. And now we can... And he goes, remember in heaven, part of the whole package is that God is there, the judge of all. And to the spirit of righteous men made perfect. These are Old Testament saints made perfect when Christ atoned for their sin at the cross. So all the Old Testament saints were, if you will, waiting for that cross and that blood to be shed. As soon as it was, boom, there they are in heaven. They were already there, but if you will, it was completed. Just like we, by faith, look back, they had to look forward, but they had to wait until it happened. Right? Those are the spirit of righteous men made perfect. Old Testament saints. All right. And then, it's kind of like, well, why did you have to say that? But again, it's kind of, I guess, as a reminder, verse 24, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant. Oh, by the way, if you're thinking of going back, don't forget that Jesus is there. The new covenant is Mount Zion. The new covenant is this transformation where God is no longer scary. It's no longer do this or die. It's God did it so you can live. It's come near to God. Remember, people touch Jesus. He's approachable. He's full of grace and full of love. And you know what? Too many times people come into a local church and they feel more law than grace. We're supposed to represent Mount Zion, not Mount Sinai. We're supposed to be gracious, not hackers, but loving, expressing that. Jesus is there, the mediator. It's almost like, what writer of Hebrews, what are you thinking? Of course. But he's like, don't forget, the whole package includes Jesus. He's going to be there, the mediator. We're going to be able to see him and see the hands and the feet and the scars. There he is. And then notice what else. And to the sprinkled blood, which speaks better than the blood of Abel. Abel was the first martyr, if you will. He died for his faith. He was a true believer. God accepted his sacrifice, which was offering a lamb, right, and spilling the blood out. He goes, but there's a better blood. That blood was speaking of, that's what God demanded. But now, the blood of Jesus is what cleansed us, and that's going to be there too. The blood stains on his clothing. Doesn't it say that in Revelation 19? And that the reminder that blood had to be spilled for us to be cleansed of sin. And so, there you go, your comparison. Which do you like better? Which do you like better? All right, now, having said that, I'm going to try to do the next few verses in 4 minutes. So I'm going to give it a try. See to it, verse 25, that you do not refuse him who is speaking. For if those did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, much less shall we escape who turn away from him who warns from heaven. And his voice shook the earth then, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more, and I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. So what is the exhortation? Don't refuse the gracious invitation of God to be saved. Do you hear that? Don't refuse God's gracious invitation, because he is now approachable. He wants you to draw near him. Don't refuse it, because he was speaking to a lot of people, and within those people, there were people who were religious but weren't saved. Don't refuse. Because remember, back then, he shook that mountain because he was unapproachable. Now he's approachable, and he's inviting people to come. Right? Now, remember this. In the future, not only is he going to shake the earth, not just the mountain, but the whole earth, but the heavens too. What's that talking about? When he destroys the heaven and earth. 2 Peter chapter 3. He's going to destroy it and then bring in the new heavens and the new earth. That's right. In other words, he's going to judge. And notice verse 27. And this expression, yet once more, denotes the removing of the things which can be shaken as of created things, this present earth and heaven, in order that those which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken. Wow. When we get saved, we belong to the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, the spiritual kingdom, and it will never be shaken, cannot be destroyed. Amen?
Hallelujah.
All right? Wow. That's what, so he keeps going, look, there's more. There's more. The spiritual kingdom that you receive will never be shaken. You don't lose your salvation. So how do we respond? Let us show gratitude. How do we respond? Say it out loud, everybody. We show gratitude. That's right.
Hallelujah.
Grateful hearts. Grateful hearts. By which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe. Not only do we show gratitude, but as we serve Him and worship Him, we do it with reverence and awe. Never with disrespect. Yes, He's approachable, but He's still God. It's always with reverence and awe. And to conclude, for our God is a consuming fire. So if you refuse the gracious invitation, then all that can be expected for you is God's going to judge you. And you're going to burn forever in hell. That's what it means by a consuming fire. He's going to judge you. But there's no need. Because by grace, you can come to the Lord and be saved and be forgiven. So, what a tremendous passage. You know, I've never heard anybody preach this section in my whole life. The comparison of the two mountains and what we have in the Lord. Have you? All right then. Praise the Lord. There you go. Father, thank you for your word. Bless it to us. And we thank you so much that Mount Zion is so inviting and so beautiful. And we're blessed to be part of this kingdom that cannot be shaken. We worship you, Lord, and we're full of gratitude. Bless your people and bless our time of fellowship. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Check it out. I think, yeah.